Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Good morning, and praise the Lord. Today is Bright Thursday, May 9th, 2024. On Bright Thursday, the Gospel reading is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, which mentions the Pharisee Nicodemus, who came by night to speak to Christ. The Lord told him that a man could not see the kingdom of God unless he were born again. Nicodemus, taking him much too literally, could not understand how such a thing was possible. The Savior then clarified his words, saying that one must be born of water and the Spirit, verse 5, referring to baptism. Nicodemus, however, still found it difficult to understand him. The Lord said, "If I have told you of earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Verse 12. The reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 41, also speaks of baptism. Saint Peter told the crowd, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2 and 38. The main focus of today's readings is on baptism, but they also point to other things. We are to raise our mind and understanding from earthly to heavenly things, and to seek the gift of the Holy Spirit. All Holy Trinity, have mercy on us. Lord, forgive our sins. Master, pardon our transgressions. Holy One, visit and heal our infirmities for your name's sake. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, into the ages of ages. Amen. Our first reading from the Holy Scriptures comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 38 through 43. In those days, Peter said to the people, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, every one whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other words, and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. The Gospel reading is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. At that time there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born from above. The Spirit blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, and you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Of course, the scripture following where we left off in John chapter 3 is the famous, probably the most famous Bible verse among pop culture anyway. John 3:16. It used to be, when I was a kid, I remember watching NFL games, and there was always somebody that was in the stands right behind the goalposts, so that when they were kicking a field goal or the extra point, somebody would raise up John 3:16. The NFL apparently banned that, because you don't see that anymore. It's kind of too bad, because it was always fun to watch that. It was always interesting. There's always somebody that had that sign painted on a sheet or something, but they don't do it anymore. Roger Goodell clamped down on the reading of scriptures during the NFL games. Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, present everywhere and filling all things, treasury of blessings and giver of life, come and abide in us. Cleanse us from every stain and save our souls, gracious Lord. I want to read for you a pretty lengthy passage from a book titled On the Providence of God by St. John Chrysostom. This has to do with when bad things happen. Seemingly bad things happen. It's all part of God's providence. Therefore, when the whole creation came into being and received its proper order, and when this all-harmonious, astounding, and greatly amazing work was set forth before all, since many of the mindless and deluded would object to the things that were created, see how, putting a check beforehand on their inappropriate judgment and crazy reckoning, the lawgiver blocked every shameless tongue with one word and said, God saw all the things that he had made, and behold, they were very good. Genesis 1, verse 31. Since among the things he saw, there were not only light, but also darkness, not only fruits, but also thorns, not only cultivated trees, but also wild ones, not only evenly sloping plains, but also mountains and wooded vales and ravines, not only men, but also poisonous reptiles, not only fish, but also monsters of the sea, not only calm waters, but also the unnavigable deep, not only the sun and the moon and the stars, but also thunderbolts and lightning storms, not only gentle winds, but also tempestuous ones, not only doves and singing birds, but also hawks and falcons and vultures and other man-eating creatures, not only sheep and cattle, but also wolves and leopards and lions, not only deers and hares and gazelles, but also scorpions and vipers and pythons, and among the plants, not only healing ones, but also noxious ones. Many would be scandalized thereby and would give birth to heresies. After the things which were created had come to be, and each thing had received its proper form, Moses shows the Creator praising every created thing, or rather, each thing singly and everything together, so that, knowing the Creator's estimation, no one, even if he were exceedingly reckless and shameless, would pry further into visible things. Therefore, having said that the light came to be, he adds, And God saw the light, that it was good. Genesis 1, verse 4. And likewise for each thing. Then, so as not to draw out his discourse by mentioning everything by name, he gives an account of everything in general at the same time, and says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It is not that God came to know that the created things were good after they had come to be, certainly not. For if a human artist, having learned his craft, knows that what he will create will be good even before he creates it, so much the more did the ineffable wisdom, who brings all things into existence by his will alone, know that they would be good before they came to be. For he would not have brought them into existence if he had not known this. Why then is this said? For the reason that I mentioned, Therefore, listen to the prophet telling you that God saw the things he had made and praised them, and do not look for another touchstone or proof of their goodness. Neither say, how are they good? For the declaration of the reckoning and judgment of the Creator is more sure than the proof that comes from the creation itself. For this reason, then, the prophet's use of words was somewhat rudimentary. If a man wants to buy medicines but is without experience with them, he first of all asks that they be shown to the doctor. And if the man clearly learns that after seeing them, the doctor has approved them, then he does not seek after any other proof of their excellence. But hearing that the doctor has seen them and approved them, he is satisfied with the judgment of the expert. In the same way, then, wishing to eliminate any shameless inquisitiveness on the part of those who would later have enjoyment of the creation, Moses reported and said that God saw these things and praised them and judged them to be good, and not only good, but very good. Therefore, since you have such testimony of their excellence, do not be inquisitive, and do not pry curiously into created things. If you are not satisfied by this testimony, but wish to enter into an investigation of created things, only throwing yourself into the violent narrows and swells of thought that produce a great storm, you will not learn any more, but will create for yourself a painful shipwreck. Not only will you not be able to discover all the inner principles of each created thing, but you will also find fault with many of the things which now seem to you to be good, if you use your ill-judging mind. The mind of men is so weak that it often goes around in opposite directions, and many men are diametrically opposed to each other in their appraisal of the creation. The Greeks, admiring it more than is proper, and transcending due measure, considered it to be divine. On the other hand, among the Manichaeans and other heretics, some said that it was not the work of a good God, while others, cutting off one part of it, designated it as spontaneous matter and judged it to be unworthy of the creative work of God. Thus, as I have said before, if someone uses reason and his ill-judging mind, he will even find fault with much of what is considered to be good. What do you think is more beautiful than the sun? And yet, sending out excessively hot rays, this bright and delightful star damages feeble eyes, burns up the earth, produces fevers, often dries up the fruits of the earth, rendering them unusable, makes trees barren, and causes part of the world to be uninhabitable to us. Tell me, what then? Shall we bring the sun into discredit because of this? Certainly not. But let us allow these reasonings and their clamor to be at rest, and lay hold of that rock, the passage that says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, seeing that the things I have just enumerated are also very good and beneficial. As I said earlier, we must continually return to this passage and say, see, everything that God made is very good. But is living in luxury and laughter and abiding in pleasure good? Listen to Solomon, who, having gone through every sort of pleasure, says it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the banquet house. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 2. But, since we must deal with the thinking of our opponents, is the night bad? Indeed, it is a rest from toil, a relief from cares and abatement of sicknesses, and not a little respite from fears and dangers. It renews the body, invigorates the intelligence, and gives rest to exhausted flesh. But is sickness a bad thing? For what then was Lazarus crowned? And poverty? For what was Job held in high esteem? And continual afflictions, one after another? For what were the apostles extolled? What sort of road is it that leads to strife? Is it not straight and narrow? Therefore do not say, why is this? What is the purpose of this? Rather, regarding that which God has created and God's economy, before the God who made you, keep the silence that is kept by the clay before the potter. That is chapter 4 from a book titled On the Providence of God by St. John Chrysostom. The Golden Voice. Chrysostom literally means the Golden Voice. My name is James Newcomb. I am grateful you have pressed play and spent a couple of minutes out of your morning with yours truly, and those who press play along with you. not necessarily at the exact same time, but we do listen in the morning. I can tell by the stats. The stats do not go up during the afternoon. And that's what this podcast is about. It's meant to give a little bit of structure to the beginning of your morning. It's something that I lacked, and this podcast sort of scratches my own itch. Like, I was looking for something that would have the scriptures, the morning prayers, a little bit of wisdom imparted. And so this podcast is really, I guess it was scratching my own itch, but I also know that if one person has a need, then others have it. So that's a little bit of the background of this podcast feed. Hope you enjoy it. This is brought to you by Graymer Pietrullo, gmptl.org. We're a full-service marketing, publishing firm. If you have a message that is burning inside of you that you need to get out into the world, but you're freaked out by all the technological aspects, if the words SEO, publish, make your palms sweat just a little bit, that's why we're here. We will take all of the scary things out of it, and we'll either take care of it for you, or we'll teach you how to do it. It's really not that bad. So if you have a podcast idea or an audio book that you want published, even a physical book that you want published, if you want help with email marketing, anything that has to do with hitting a button that says publish, we can help you with it. So look us up, gmptl.org. Would love to hear from you. Here are your ideas and see how we can help you get them out into the world. We will close this episode, as we do every morning, with the Lord's Prayer. Thank you again for listening. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.